we take that planning lens and we're very serious about trying to give back to the profession as well. And when you're meeting with an advisor and you show them something for the first time, it's really cool.
I'm Ian Harvey from New York City, and you're listening to You're a Financial Planner, Now What? The podcast to help you fast track your career by bringing you meaningful conversations on topics that influence new financial planners, their careers, and the lives of their clients.
While working towards the CFP designation, many of us assume that we'll one day be working in a traditional financial planning firm. But the truth is, there's so many different ways to use your training and designation. Up next, Greg Goyne and Skylar Adams from Allianz Life talk with Hannah Moore about using their CFP training in their work with insurance carriers and wholesalers. They also explain why new advisors might look beyond small firms and RIAs, share opportunities to use CFP in fintech, and how you might find your dream role by networking with non-planners within the finance community. But first, Allianz Life Insurance Company of North America, Allianz Life, has individuals around the country who are CFPs who want to give back to the planning profession by working alongside advisors. Allianz Life focuses on providing resources and support to advisors and planners to help them ultimately build better outcomes for their clients.
Well, thank you, Skylar and Greg, for joining us today.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So I'm really excited about this conversation. You know, we have sponsors on this podcast and Allianz is a sponsor, but what I love about this conversation is that this is really about career paths within financial planning. And I think there are so many opportunities to impact personal finance, impact financial planning that are more than just a financial planner role. And so really excited to highlight that with both of you guys. So before we get started into kind of your direct career path, I'm curious, you know, when you guys, what did you guys expect from your career when you guys graduated from college?
When I graduated from college, I had a finance and economics degree from Gustavus Adolphus College here in Minnesota. And within the finance and economics curriculum throughout college, you really learn very specific details, but it's kind of more geared towards that investment banking type of role once you graduate. And I remember going into my senior year of college, I actually was looking at a internship with Craig Hallam, and my uncle, who works for Raymond James and has a practice there, said that if you're interested in joining this side of the business, there's actually a different route I'd like you to try. And he had me do the internship at Northwestern to learn the retail side of the business and how that works, which is brand new to me. And it really gave me kind of insight as to how working with clients and, you know, figuring out how to pick up the phone and kind of cold call people works. Then once I graduated, I was actually going to join Raymond James, but my uncle ended up moving his practice down to Scottsdale, and being 22 or 23 at the time, I wasn't ready to make that change from Minnesota to Arizona. So I actually had a friend that had been at Allianz for about a year and asked if I'd be interested in looking at a new distribution group that they were starting there. And I said, yes, I'm definitely interested, but I don't know what Allianz is, or I've never even heard the term wholesaling in the financial world ever. And he'd explained it to me, and I still really had no idea what Allianz did, just because it's such a unique kind of niche market. If you don't really understand the ins and outs of the financial industry and your only experience is college and one internship. So when I graduated, I kind of felt like I was kind of just diving into a deep blue ocean and just kind of drinking water through a fire hose. But I'm really glad that I did, because everything with Allianz and learning the wholesale side has been awesome.
And so you were really kind of expecting kind of more that client facing role. And then now you're much more in almost like a support role for financial planners. How would you describe that?
Right now, my role at Allianz, well, to answer your first question, coming out of college, I definitely expected more of the traditional financial advisor route. So as I mentioned, I plan on joining my uncle's practice at Raymond James, and I envision being part of his team and, working with clients to guide them through their retirement timeframe and building portfolios, so on and so forth. But then once I ended up going to Allianz, really where I started on the internal sales desk, it's a lot of prospecting and really making sure you're taking care of those relationships for advisors that are producing and using Allianz's product. Once I transitioned to our wholly owned broker dealer / RA, I kind of learned some more ins and outs of the industry, and that ended up leading me back to Allianz, where now I actually work very closely with Greg's team, and I work a lot within the fintech space, doing financial planning. In my current role, it's a lot of actual research that we can develop so that we can, you know, move into the market of the registered investment advisory firms where we really haven't been in the past. So yeah, I think a great way to put it was, you know, some days I'm very in that support role where I'm helping advisors build financial plans in tools such as eMoney and MoneyGuide Pro. Some days I'm doing a lot of research on content that we can develop and that will resonate with them. And then, you know, other days it's just things that sporadically pop up and stuff that goes on at the corporate world. So every day is different. But yeah, I think the main thing that I would say I do is definitely support the advisors.
Okay. So Greg, how about you? You know, when you graduated, what did you graduate with, and kind of what was your expectation of your career when you graduated?
Yeah, very different than the way it worked out. And I think if you look at someone coming into school, even today, and the picture that's painted and understanding it could be entirely different, that's okay. When I went to Iowa State in 2006, you know, the job market was booming, the economy was strong, the market was strong. And I went to, I'll never forget, a tour of the business college, and they were talking about recent graduates and placement levels and salaries and companies they worked with and robust internship programs. It sounded great. And then 2 years into college, the Great Recession hit and everything changed. And I graduated in 2010, coming out in an entirely different job market, entirely different economy, and totally different picture as far as opportunities. You were happy to get a job at that point in time. I mean, you definitely couldn't be picky. And when I entered the finance program and I got out with 2 degrees, marketing and finance, a lot of what I had prepared myself for, at least the curriculum I had studied, was very capital markets oriented. I'll never forget participating in a portfolio management class where we actually made a recommendation to purchase stocks. There's a program that they put together between the four colleges in Iowa where they actually make recommendations to change investments. And that's really what ignited my passion in the financial services industry. I thought for sure I was going to go work for some sort of mutual fund, or I was going to be an analyst. I almost went as far as pursuing my CFA after college. And that was totally different from where I ended up. And it's funny that Skyler makes the comment about the firm he mentioned. I actually went to that firm as well and inquired about an internship. And I kind of saw the experience, and I kind of saw Wall Street, and it was exciting, and it was something I saw myself doing. That being said, I ended up in a very different place. And I know part of our discussion today is kind of to flesh that out. So I don't want to jump into it now. I don't want to talk too long, but totally opposite of what I could have anticipated when I started.
Can you describe your career path, like after you graduated, and how you've gotten to where you are today?
Absolutely. I started working with a financial advisory firm right out of school. And I remember going to our recruiting fair, and I had met the advisor who came down. He was an Iowa State grad. And so he liked to be able to work with individuals that came out of the business school. And he was building his practice up at the time. It was a family practice. And I got a chance to join them in a support role as kind of a, you know, his right hand per se. And like Skyler said, it was kind of like drinking from a fire hose. I understood finance. I understood balance sheets. I understood how to analyze a company. I didn't know what an IRA was. I didn't know what a 1035 exchange was, or a qualified transfer, or taxation for that matter. You go from what you learn in a textbook to what you get in the real world, and it's totally different. So I'm sitting there learning, studying for my insurance license, then it was my Series 7, then my Series 66, and then I'm sitting in client meetings, and I'm taking notes, and I'm doing applications, and I'm following up with trades and doing trading and rebalancing as I got licensed. And so there's a lot of the practical application that I had no idea really. existed in a financial advisory firm. And they were holistic planners. They did everything from life insurance to investment management. They even had their own RIA. So just the regulatory environment and the tax legislation, there were so many things that you don't learn in school, at least not at the time. Maybe it's changed. So I spent a couple of years there, got my feet wet, learned the business, and decided I wanted something different. And that was hard because I think as you come into a practice, like Skylar said, you could see a place there for yourself in the future. You know, we all have, I think, in this industry, an entrepreneurial spirit, and we want to be able to build something. And you can see what the future looks like because there's someone that's come before you. And I've seen where successful advisors have gone. And I kind of wanted that for myself. At the same time, I didn't feel like I was ready for that. And I also wanted to grow my network. And I was in a small business. I mean, I was there long hours, early mornings, late nights, doing a lot of difficult work for little pay. And I wasn't getting a chance to grow my network with people my age and see what else was out there. So I ended up joining Allianz. I've been at Allianz for 10 years now. I've had various different roles that I've taken on, whether it's internal wholesaling or education or working with our firms. And now I'm to a point where I think everything that I've learned over the last 11 years is kind of coming together in a culmination of our own financial planning, investment knowledge, and really going back out to these individuals and investment advisors and kind of sharing what we've learned to help better the profession, help better planning, bring unique solutions. So my career path has definitely not been linear. And I take a lot of the education I've gotten to this point, especially with the CFP, which I did about 8 years ago. Really staying as a student of the industry has helped me continue to grow as a professional, even within one organization. And never has the work been the same over the last 10 years.
So Skylar, going back to you, I know you've talked a little bit about your career path. Was there anything else that you wanted to add kind of on your career journey and kind of bringing you to the point where you are today?
When you look at the career path and, you know, things that were very influential within my career was making that step, like I mentioned, to our wholly owned broker dealer / registered investment advisory firm after being on the internal side at Allianz for a couple of years. And when I made that transition, one of the main reasons to behind making that transition was I really wanted to obtain my CFP and get my Series 7 and 66. And as I was going through that process at that firm I was with, we started to try to figure out the registered investment advisory side and fee-based business, whether it's fee-based advice or fee for AUM. And we actually did a transition, or the team that I was a part of did a transition of all of our registered investment advisory firm's assets from a software called Netix 360 onto a platform called InvestNet. And once we were able to transition those assets, we felt we were in a good place where our advisors could manage their fee-based business. Well, the next thing was, how do we figure out a way for our advisors that want to give investment advice and charge a fee for planning? What do we need to do to get to that step so that our advisors have access at their fingertips to do something like that? And we started looking at different softwares that they could use that would be right on their desktop, just like their managed assets are, like InvestNet, for example, that they could incorporate financial planning and fee for advice into their practice. So we really started looking at the big ones that most people have heard of, like eMoney and MoneyGuide Pro. And I really, really liked everything that we were doing within those softwares. And as we learned it, teaching our advisors in the field how those softwares worked, how fee for advice worked, what you need to do from a comprehensive financial planning standpoint to charge a fee for advice. And right when we really got the ball rolling with both our fee-based platform and our fee-for-advice option from the financial planning standpoint, the firm I was with got sold. And at that point in time, I had some big decisions to make. Do I want to stay with the firm and go to the new ownership? Or, you know, there's still options back at Allianz. When I was looking at the options back at Allianz, they asked me, you know, what are things that you enjoy doing that you feel would be able to be incorporated on the wholesale side versus where you're at with the retail side. And I told them I really like this fintech and financial planning work that I've been doing. I think that there's a spot for annuities within these financial planning softwares and within advisors, comprehensive financial plans for their clients, but we're just not at that point yet where we're able to show the value of annuities within those softwares. So I took a role at Allianz where my main job was to figure out, okay, are we able to accurately reflect our products within these softwares? If so, how do we do it? And then once we were able to get to the point where, you know, with those big companies like MoneyGuide Pro and eMoney, on the comprehensive financial side, once we were able to prove we could accurately reflect our products, it was really working with people such as Greg, our other distribution channels, and, you know, training not only our wholesaling field, but then taking the conversation of where annuities typically used to be, where it was very transactional, to using these financial planning softwares and quantitatively show the impact that it has on a financial plan from, you know, something such as a probability of success or legacy left over at the end of the plan. And the great thing about these softwares is it gives us data right away once we build it in, whether it makes sense for the client or not, or whether it puts them in a better position and should be now built into their financial plan moving forward.
When we start looking at jobs where people are actually getting jobs as CFPs, fintech is one of the big spaces. You mentioned Netex 360 and InvestNet, and where I was at before, I mean, that was like what I used was Netex 360. And so just realizing like there's so much that goes into that support of just even the programs that we use as planners, I think is really, really neat. So I'm curious, and I think, you know, Skylar, you may have, you've implied this a little bit, but, you know, I know that you have your CFP designation. How do you use your CFP on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, gosh. I use it pretty much in every aspect of what I do, you know, regarding going back to what we talked about earlier, where, you know, our main job is to support advisors and hopefully earn their business. One thing that really builds a level of trust with advisors is them knowing that you've gone through the CFP training, passed the test, and you have that designation. Because a lot of advisors that we are trying to grow Allianz with or reach, they do have their CFPs, and it just gives us a level of, I would say the advisors a level of confidence in us that we know what we're doing and we're coming at it from a fiduciary standpoint. But then, you know, going away from more of the support side, doing everything we're doing within the fintech space, like financial planning and figuring out, do these products fit within these softwares? Are they accurately reflected? Is everything else within the plan beneficially impacted? How do we even take this plan a step further from implementing the annuity to maybe optimizing Social Security to increase a better potential outcome, or using different, you know, tax diversified drawdown strategies to better complement something like the overall investment portfolio or to be intertwined with the annuity? Having the training and proving what I've learned through the CFP process and taking all those tests, I would say definitely gives me more confidence in the knowledge that I have to make sure that when we come up with something within the software, that we were able to do the correct due diligence and that what we are moving forward then to our advisors or our wholesalers is correct.
So Greg, how about you? How does your CFP designation play out on a day-to-day basis?
Very similar with Skylar's approach in that every time we're working with an advisory practice or a team, having gone through the curriculum, having an understanding of the financial planning process, understanding what they're working with a client. I mean, I think there's a lot of empathy too, from the advisor's perspective, that we at least understand. And I always try to put a planning lens on everything that we do at our company and remind those back at our company too of how this works with clients, how it works in the real world. And then it was just been amplified by the advent of adoption and enhancement of financial planning software. I mean, there are major providers now that you're interfacing with. And it's great when we can work with a firm like a head of financial planning or a CFP on staff and bring in somebody like Skyler or somebody from his team that knows the software really well, that has gone through the CFP program. And in some cases, a lot of cases, I've been on calls specifically with Skyler, where we've been able to identify things that are really advantageous for clients to see in the plan or certain reports or considerations that maybe they haven't had a chance to get to or have explored. And you just get such a greater depth and you're able to build much stronger plans. And it's really fun to have those experiences because we take that planning lens and we're very serious about trying to give back to the profession as well. And when you're meeting with an advisor and you show them something for the first time, it's really cool. And I obviously interface with advisors every day, so that's a really big part of what I do. And then also, too, within the financial planning community, I'm really involved with our local chapter in the state of Minnesota. And I take pride in being a CFP and being involved, not only as a sponsor, but I want to give back to the profession. So it's been really great to be involved with that chapter and help continue to grow the profession. And also, too, being involved in their conference planning committee, being able to kind of weave in individuals that we've seen that are also in the CFP community that can come and provide education. So there's a lot of different ways, but at the core, it really gets back down to that client and advisor education and working with them and being able to use what we've been taught and actually put it into practice. Now, obviously, we're not advising individual clients, but it's really enjoyable to work with the advisor. And then very often, too, we are on the phone with the advisor and the client. So to the extent they trust us to do that, it's a really cool experience to be able to use what you've learned and put it into practical application.
Skyler, what does a typical day look like for you? Like, walk me through what a day would be in your job. And tell me again what your exact job title is.
Yeah, so my exact job title is Director of Advanced Strategies and Planning Platforms. So I would say a typical day for me is really focusing on what can we build to, and I should say, what value can we create that we can apply to the field or advisors out there that maybe don't have the understanding of where annuities used to be and where they're at now, and how they can put clients into a better financial situation as they approach that retirement timeframe or as they're going through, that retirement duration. And, you know, I work a lot with Greg's team, not only with advisors and financial planning teams or back offices at different RAs that they're constantly out there talking to, but the conversation with those different groups of people can go, you know, so many different ways, whether it's, you know, why would we even think about using an annuity? Is annuity allowed within a fee-based structure? How does this fit within the fintech stack that we offer our advisors? And it's really just having those conversations constantly, regarding, you know, this is where it fits within financial planning. This is how we can show that it fits within financial planning. Here's research that we've done and created to back everything we're showing here today. And here's the reasons why we've come to these conclusions that this does make sense. And here's what's unique to Allianz versus maybe competitors out there where we see these positive results. So very, very fluent day to day. Like last week, for example, I was out at a fintech conference all week, which obviously a lot of these conversations weren't happening, but it was talking to different fintech software companies and saying, you know, what's the latest update at your firm? Like a great example is one of our close partners in the financial planning fintech space. We ran into each other and he's like, hey, you know, those conversations that we've been having for 3 years about things that you and your team thought would take our software to the next level and maybe separate us from some of our fintech competitors. Well, we've just launched it and it's going to go to everybody that has a subscription with us in November, but we actually have a preview available here. Would you like to take a look at it just to see if everything looks correct to you? We feel like we've nailed it on the head. And then to really look at that software and be like, wow, this has came so far, is, you know, in situations like that, really rewarding. And to see, you know, the evolution of where we were 3 years ago within the financial planning space and the softwares to where it's at now, I would say is obviously huge for the advisors and their clients, but it's something that I like to see because it's something that I've worked on day in and day out for, you know, the last three and a half years.
Man, and it's also just sobering. I know I've put in requests for like different features for software and realizing that those are year-long projects, not a day projects for a lot of these softwares.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just cool to think of that, scope. Yeah. So Greg, what does your day-to-day look like? What does a typical day look like for you?
I wish I could say there was a typical day. Everything's changing on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, which is great. I like the pace. You know, for me, I think the core is just kind of advocating for opportunities to work with advisors and help build better outcomes and stronger financial plans. And so that's kind of leveraging a lot of the resources that we've built in integrations with technology and financial planning software. And for me, it's majorly educating people that there are options out there, whether you're fee only, you've never used insurance solutions before, the value of lifetime income, and just some of the things that this can do to help impact your practice, your client relationships, your client outcomes. So I'm squarely involved in advocating for our solutions and where they can fit within a financial plan. And so for me, I'm reaching out to advisors. I'm meeting with advisors and clients, participating in FPA events when they come up. You know, occasionally I'll go to conferences, and I'm pretty active within the FPA and then also the Investments and Wealth Institute. So pre-COVID, I mean, I really enjoyed going to events. Every once in a while, we'll get a chance to speak. But I firmly believe in being a student of the industry and staying current at the very least, and using what we learn. And so hopefully that will come back, you know, as things kind of normalize a bit, but definitely trying to stay plugged in between the Investments and Wealth Institute, the FPA, and also working to create content. We are really fortunate to have an organization that has invested in people that have credentials and subject matter expertise and see the value in unlocking that knowledge. And so another fun part of the work we do, like Skylar had mentioned, is creating presentations, creating learning modules, creating white papers. We're working on a white paper right now that we're hoping to get published with the Investments and Wealth Institute at the end of this year on risks that you can control and risks you can't control. And so I really enjoy the academic nature of that as well. And I don't know that there's too many companies that invest in or see the value in that type of growth and involvement. So I really enjoy that opportunity. It's a very diverse amount of work, but it's all really fun and it's really enjoyable. And when you see things come together within an advisory practice and ultimately the impact that it makes in a client's life at the end of the day, that's really satisfying. So that's what we kind of strive to do, is continue to help shape that overall narrative and contribute and give back as much as possible. So probably not a great answer to your question. It's not super typical, but those are kind of the consistent pillars that I see in a day-to-day basis, is that outreach, education, and then just trying to be a trusted resource for people and growing a portion of their practice that they may never really have invested time and effort in, but they're interested in learning more and wanting to. So
sounds a lot like what financial planners say what their day looks like. So there must be some similarities there, some characteristics of what, yeah.
You have your best intentions, fires come up, you need to be reactive, but at the same time, you kind of have your guiding principles that you set out with, at least on a daily basis.
So we've been talking here, and I think this is such a great conversation about like just opening up this world of like there's other places to use your CFP designation if you want to get your CFP and in the space of financial planning. And so I'm curious, you guys are in not a different world, but you guys are in a world that just really runs parallel with kind of what I see in the financial planner world. And so I'm curious, what are other opportunities to use a CFP designation that you guys see?
The opportunity to use a CFP is continuing to grow every single day. You know, 10 years ago, typically when you looked at the amount of CFPs that were primarily on the retail side and financial advisors, I would say that it was probably well over 90-95%. When I started at Allianz 6-7 years ago, the only CFP that I knew at Allianz, I'm almost 100% sure, was Greg. And he was at the time on the external side of things. And I knew that he had a CFP and he was a younger guy and doing well. And I thought that, you know, in order to follow in someone like his footsteps, who's younger and having a successful career, something that separated him was getting a CFP. So then I wanted to get my CFP. And back then at Allianz, it was just very uncommon. It was very uncommon, not only at Allianz, but probably every other insurance carrier out there. And now when we fast forward 6-7 years, I think people at these different insurance carriers are really seeing the benefit of hiring CFPs and encouraging their employees to get their CFPs, because it allows them to speak more intelligently and in different ways when it comes to approaching an advisor on how our product may fit within their overall business. And with that, within Allianz, I think that Greg would agree. I think that we've probably just scratched the surface, particularly within this fintech space, and what the CFP opens up within that, you know, financial technology, comprehensive financial technology realm, or comprehensive financial planning realm. You know, even 3 years ago when I was first working with a lot of these different fintech and software companies and working with their employees, I would say that there was very, very few CFPs at these different companies. But those companies now are taking that step and saying, well, you know, the retail side, they've all been CFPs. Now our carriers and insurance companies and fund companies, they're investing in their employees and their employees are getting their CFP. We should probably take that next step to match it. And we should start having CFPs at the software companies that are creating the outputs that these insurance companies and financial advisors are using. So, you know, like I said, 6 years ago, it wasn't a big thing in the insurance carrier space. 3 years ago, it wasn't a big thing in the fintech space. And now it's very relevant in both of them. So I just keep seeing it kind of as a tumbleweed that's going to continue to get bigger and bigger as these new different opportunities present themselves, like fintech did a few years ago for us.
So Greg, how about you? Kind of what is your perspective? Where's opportunities for CFPs that maybe isn't in that traditional lane?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely echo what Skylar said 10 years ago or more. I mean, if you weren't going into a practice, there wasn't a whole lot of outlets for you. And I even remember being an internal wholesaler on a sales desk in my early 20s doing my CFP program, and I passed the exam. So that's one part. The other part is earning the experience. And at that time, I think it still is, 3 years. And I remember having to actually lay out for them how many hours a week I was engaged in financial planning, which indirectly, yes, I was. I mean, I was talking with advisors and we're talking about solutions and we're talking about planning, but I'm not working with individual clients. So that was kind of a barrier, you know, that I was concerned about was, okay, I passed the test, but can I actually use the letters? And I think with the CFP board and with institutions and this becoming a lot more mainstream, to have people in institutions that have the CFP, it's really opened up your ability to use it in non-traditional ways. And I see the institutional aspect of that. I mean, you even look at asset managers. Asset managers are talking about retirement planning, BlackRock. I mean, there's places where you can go as a CFP at an asset manager. In the fintech space, of course, the major financial planning softwares, you could work and have a long career and use a CFP. There are so many RIAs that have centralized financial planning as a core function of their business, where you could be on a planning team and you could work within financial planning software all day long. And I think another important difference, depending on your personality, or at least opportunity set, is maybe you love the planning work, but you don't necessarily love the client relationship management aspect. And maybe you really love digging into things, but you're just not super interested in like being in front of people all day long. And that's exhausting. Well, I think before you were kind of both, right? You were a planner, you were a relationship manager, you were doing a lot of the work, but you were also communicating the plans. And so I think there is, if you're interested in just being more data oriented and getting more into maybe a behind the scenes type of a role, you can still have a very viable career doing that. And then someone else can communicate, you know, the actual plan. And so I think that it really has opened up different skill sets, different opportunities. Obviously, on our side, in the institutional side, the business-to-business side, there's lots of sales-driven roles where having that experience and credibility, you certainly separate yourself as a professional. I've seen a lot of advisors become wholesalers. I've seen a lot of wholesalers become advisors. So, you know, it's a very complementary skill set. Your client's just different. So I think now more than ever, there are so many different ways for you to take advantage of the CFP and use it in ways that probably weren't possible 15 years ago or maybe even 10 years ago. So it's really exciting to see and really encouraging, I think, for the overall profession and the program to know that there's so many different ways that you can do good in the community, but then also have a, you know, long and meaningful career that may not necessarily be as an advisor, and that's okay.
So as we wrap up, what advice would you guys have for somebody who is, you know, coming out of school or looking to make a career change into financial planning, but maybe doesn't want to do the traditional financial planner role?
I would say, you know, one of two places to keep your eyes open. Either A, there is such a need and demand, just given the demographics of our industry. There's this tidal wave of assets that are going to continue to transfer over the next 10 to 15 years to the next generation. And that's both of those that hold the assets and those that manage the assets. And I think there's never been a greater time to get into this profession in a model that is sustainable, that you enjoy, whether that be a broker dealer, that be an RIA, that be somewhere in between. There is so much opportunity to come in, learn, potentially have ownership options, equity, be in a small business, large business, that you could build a 20, 30 plus year career. So keep that as an option. Those will be there and will continue to be there. If that's not something that's right for you today, you can definitely go learn and get experience in places where Skylar and I are at, in an institution. And that's always going to be there. The other side of going back to being in a practice will always be there. So don't force the issue, because it's not easy and it's not for everyone. But you have a little more of a safety net when you're working for a large corporation or big institution, and you can still use what you've learned. So I would say keep your eyes open. And one thing that I wish somebody had told me was that jobs like Skylar and I started in even existed. It's changed a lot over the years, but even coming in and being on like a sales desk, I don't like to use the word sales, but being on an internal desk, great culture, great opportunity to learn, great benefits, you got a safety net, and it's a place where you can learn and grow. I didn't know those jobs existed when I came out of college. I found it a couple of years later, and I haven't looked back since. So I would certainly encourage you to keep your options open, ask around, because it's not always obvious. And continue to grow and nurture your network. And you never know where you're going to end up. But I would keep those two paths certainly in mind. I mean, there's great opportunity on both sides.
I think it's such a good point, too, that, you know, if you want to get into, if you're like, you know what, I do want to be in that financial planner role, because I know a lot of the people that I talk to do want to be in that role, that it's okay to get a job, you know, getting your foot in the door with a stable salary at, you know, one of these companies that is really going to give you exposure to help show you maybe your next step. Sometimes it's just figuring out what your next step is, and knowing that going and working where you guys are at Allianz or a different company like that, it can just be part of the journey. It doesn't mean that you're giving up on something.
Right. And to Skylar, where he's at, you know, with technology, that's changed everything. And I've seen so many practices that are slow to adopt. If you're nimble and you can understand this and you're coming into a practice that's trying to evolve, technology is a way to unlock so much opportunity. And if you're willing to put in the effort and energy to understand it and be that advocate in your firm, then I think you hold the keys to the kingdom to really help that grow professionally for your own career and then the firm as well. So that's another opportunity to come in and kind of be that champion for change, which is really going to help accelerate the firm you're in and then your own career.
So Skylar, what would be your advice for somebody who is looking to get into this financial planning or financial services space?
Yeah, the first thing that I would mention, and Greg touched on this, is the financial world is just so much more than you can possibly learn, even being a finance major in college. And regardless of where you start, whether it's, you know, on the retail side of like a financial advisor, maybe in a wholesale institution or investment banking, so on and so forth. By having your CFP, it's going to open a lot of doors for you. And if you're not satisfied with the route you're going, well, there's a good chance that where you end up 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now, that job doesn't even exist today. And I can speak to that firsthand when, you know, I started at Allianz on that internal sales desk that Greg had mentioned. What I'm doing today did not exist, you know, even 6, 7 years ago. And as it started becoming more prevalent at Allianz when I first started out, there was still a lot of people that really doubted what we were doing from, you know, the comprehensive financial planning standpoint and the fintech standpoint. But, you know, I had a lot of great supporters like Greg that really did believe in it. And we kept pushing forward. And now, you know, fintech is a huge staple at Allianz and what we use to really quantitatively prove to advisors why our products may or may not make sense. And I'm just so glad that I did have my CFP as I was going through a lot of that process of kind of bringing fintech to fruition within Allianz, just because I think that it gave me a lot of that credibility from the standpoint of I had the trust that I know what I'm doing from those people that may have doubted, you know, is fintech legit? Is this really where the industry is going to go? Is this something that's just a fad and maybe gone in 3 or 4 years? I just can't reiterate enough that, you know, with technology and how fast this industry moves, that if you feel stuck 3, 4 years from now, there could be a completely new option for you to utilize your CFP that we have no idea about today that will most likely exist.
Oh, such an exciting time to be in this space, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, getting the ability to create your own future, I think you've probably never had a better opportunity to do that. And then just going back to the demographics too, for our industry as a whole, there will continue to be a lot of opportunity for a long period of time.
So somebody who's listening to this, who is just like, you know what, like, this is it. Like, I've been looking for this one role. Like, I want to see if there's roles, you know, like what Greg and what Skylar, what you guys have. Where should they go? Where do they find these jobs?
That is a fantastic question. I would start with your network. I would, if you're affiliated with FPA, I think there's a tremendous network there. If you haven't, check out your local chapter, because it's a good community of individual advisors, practices that come from all different backgrounds. And they're connected with larger institutions, small business owners, sponsors. You know, it's just a really good environment where you could go to meet a lot of people, and they could probably connect you with somebody if you want to learn more about opportunities at an institution or a large company or whatever that goal of yours is. I would work that local network. And then also, too, looking out at, you know, the job boards that companies like Allianz has or some of the financial planning companies out there. And obviously, we're happy to facilitate introductions too as you continue your search. I mean, Skylar and I love meeting with new individuals to help them on their journey. So I would definitely encourage you to start there. And then, you know, to the extent that we could be a resource, I mean, we're certainly happy to.
From the standpoint of, you know, where do you go to learn more about this? If this is kind of the route that you think is interesting or that you'd like to go. Like I mentioned earlier, I had no idea about, you know, this whole industry that Greg and I are in, or this portion of the industry. It just so happened that one of my good friends worked there and they really liked it. And I was very fortunate to start my career where I did. But I think, you know, one of the biggest things is if you're passionate about something, the biggest thing that you can do is get your foot in the door. And then, you know, once it's in the door, you can kind of build what you want from there. But as Greg mentioned, and I'll reiterate, I'm more than happy to have any conversation with anybody that's interested in learning more kind of about what we do, or, you know, where financial technology, you know, fintech fits within what we do, what opportunities may be at those types of companies, or even at a company like ours, or even if they're interested in maybe talking to advisors that Greg and I work with every day to kind of learn, you know, their perspective and how they got to where they are now and what they enjoy about what they're doing. I would just say ask as many questions as you can. And if you want to lean on me and Greg in any way, shape, or form, please feel free to do so.
So what I'm hearing is that you guys are already part of every, if somebody's listening to this, you're already part of their network. They just need to reach out.
Let's hope. Yeah. We strive to be there and welcome any and all who want an ear to bend or some advice or some connectivity, however we can help.
Having a college degree helps from the starting standpoint, though.
Yes, that is very true, especially this space with the CFP. Just you have to have that degree. So is the best place to reach out to you guys on LinkedIn?
This is Greg. That's a great place to start. Yep. We're very active within that community, monitor incoming messages and connections, and then we can go from there. That's a great place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that LinkedIn is a phenomenal way to connect with people. In 2021, it's just so great that if you want to get a hold of somebody, you literally can just go to that app and you are most likely going to be able to find that person and exactly what their credentials and experience is. So I'm active on LinkedIn, and if anybody wants to reach out to me on there, feel free to do so.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for joining us today. I think this has been a great conversation just about other career paths and what else is out there for as an option if somebody wants to get into the financial planning space. So thank you both for being with us today.
Allianz Life Insurance Company of North America, Allianz Life, has individuals around the country who are CFPs who want to give back to the planning profession by working alongside advisors. Allianz Life focuses on providing resources and support to advisors and planners to help them ultimately build better outcomes for their clients.
Love what you hear on this podcast? Join us in the FPA Activate Facebook community, where you'll find a community of other passionate planners like you. Not only that, but there are live How We Do What We Do sessions focused on what real financial planning looks like in practice. Be sure to join us there to lend your voice, become a better planner, and help grow the financial planning profession.